Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? I would really love to see more folks engaged that way. There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And there is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And speaking of the Facebook group, there is also on the website, you hear me from time to time in the show talk about being able to put in prayer requests. There's an area for that on the website, but I also say on the show from time to time that you can put prayer requests in the Facebook group. And the reason that I'm highlighting that on this particular episode is I always like to go out of my way to thank the folks from Merchantside Marketing Group who did such a great job of building the website and putting in features like that, being able to submit prayer requests. But you always hear me mention their owner, and on this episode, I want to ask for prayers for his father. I've been trying to set up a call with him, and he sent me a message saying that he is taking care of his elderly father who is ill and in the hospital right now. So as much as it's nice to recognize people who do good work, as much as it's nice to refer people to companies that you've had a good experience with, like I have had with Merchantside Marketing Group, it's also important that we recognize the human element in all this and take time to send up prayers for people like this who need them at a time like this. So do remember the father of the owner of Merchantside Marketing Group in your prayers, please, if you would. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. One of the many closing prayers that I sometimes use at the end of a Catholic Sports Radio episode mentions, quote, the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat, end quote. I know somebody who still has a bad taste in their mouth to this day for a current pro athlete who is involved in a cheating scandal. If you go all the way back to episode 6 of the show, Jim Sweeney talked about being featured in an ESPN 30 for 30 that included his standing strong during the Boston College basketball point shaving scandal, sticking to his moral roots and not taking a bribe. We must remember that these temptations come from the devil. During a morning meditation in late September 2014, Pope Francis said, quote, Satan is subtle. The first page of Genesis says so. He is subtle. He presents things as if they were good, but his intention is destruction, end quote. Let us pray for the strength to recognize and stand strong against temptations from Satan, whether in sports or in our everyday lives. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played professional basketball in the WNBA, FIBA, and European Super League, being named the latter's Player of the Year in 2009. After her playing career, she spent 7 years as the associate head women's basketball coach at Seattle University, a Division I level school. During that time, she also earned her master's degree in sport business leadership. As a student athlete, she had been a 4-year starter and 3-year captain and defensive player of the year at the University of Washington, following a high school career during which she was an All-American and Gatorade basketball state player of the year. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kristen Phillips.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a joy to be here.
Thank you, Kristen. I appreciate you making time to be here. Let's have you set some background for us in terms of the Catholic Foundation that you come from.
Sure. Well, I am a cradle Catholic. Thankful to my parents for that. They really instilled the importance of the Catholic faith, in particular going to Mass every weekend. I'm the second of 4 children, and we were a busy sports family, and it made a real impression on me that wherever we were, you know, tournament or going from gym to gym or baseball field to baseball field, wherever we were, however busy we were, we always made it to Mass every weekend. And, you know, even just that example really did stick with me as I went off to college and then, you know, overseas. And I always made a point to get to Mass no matter where I was. And, you know, a busy student athlete, it'd be easy to make those excuses like, oh, well, you know, I couldn't get to Mass because of that or whatever. But I've really, you know, made it happen. Even if we got back to campus, you know, after a road trip and we would get back and I would run with my luggage to the Newman Center and attend the 9 p.m. Mass, was the last Mass, you know, and I would go to Mass with my luggage in the corner and then after Mass, take my luggage back to my dorm. So finding ways, no matter where I was, to get to Mass. And it was really neat as well. I had the opportunity my freshman year of college, we took a foreign tour to Australia. And it was my first time out of the country and so neat. So when we got there, it was a Sunday morning and I went to the concierge and asked where the nearest, you know, Catholic church was and got permission from my coaches, of course, and invited teammates if anybody wanted to come and, you know, no one did. But I walked a couple blocks, you know, in Australia. I'm on the other side of the world and had the opportunity to go to Mass, and it just made such an impression of our universal church and the ability to really be anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, and celebrate the Mass.
And how
beautiful. So I'm very thankful to my parents for instilling that from a young age.
Yeah, and what a wonderful example that is. What a wonderful story it is for us to begin this episode with. And it's funny that back in my ministry moment, I made a reference to an episode that was way, way back in the early days of Catholic Sports Radio, episode 6, because on episode 4, Mike Candrea, who had coached the women's Olympic softball team, made a point similar to the one that Kristen is making, which is he said, there's a problem when we are scheduling tournaments and telling athletes that they need to be at the ball field on a Sunday at a time when, out of the other side of our mouth, we're telling them, make sure you go to Mass every week. So at the same time, it's great to see that efforts are being made to say, well, these are the curveballs, no pun intended, that are going to be thrown at us when we are participating in sports. And so you do have to maybe go to Mass at 9 p.m. or maybe be on the other side of the world and ask somebody, where is the nearest Catholic church? And lo and behold, you find a way to get yourself there. So on that note, Kristen, presumably with everything I read off during the intro, you must have grown up with a basketball in your hands. I wonder who got you started into that sport? When and how did you get introduced to basketball?
Yeah, well, my parents both really enjoy sports. They met in the Army, actually, on a volleyball team. So sports has always been a part of their life. And so that's just what we did as a family. It was really fun. We would, you know, always be in the backyard playing something together. And I think I started formally playing, I want to say maybe even in kindergarten.
Wow.
I have an older sister, and I was invited to play with her team. And my dad coached the teams. And so it was just a big part of what we did for fun as a family. And I really enjoyed it. So I was very driven from a young age. And when you're a kid, you only know what you know. But I had goals. I was from like fourth grade. I got to go to a basketball camp, and it was a college basketball camp. And at the time, there wasn't the WNBA or anything like that. And so the highest level I could aspire to was college. And I just thought those players were incredible, and that was my goal from like fourth grade. So I just remember thinking, like, you know, that was my life's dream, was to get to play in college. And so, you know, it really shaped me from a young age. And, you know, I loved being out in the driveway practicing, and my parents were never, you know, making me go out and work on my game. If anything, my mom was like, come in for dinner, and I'm like, no, I have to make 10 free throws, you know. So they really helped nurture, you know, my work ethic and stuff. But yeah.
But for the audience, when you wonder, because I've asked that question to a guest or two or three before, who is the person that got you started into that sport? A lot of the times, the reason that I ask a guest that question is because they'll say, my parent, whether it's their mother or their father. And so for those of you who are listening who are parents, I think you see what quality time that can be with your son or with your daughter, that yes, you're just introducing them, in Kristen's case, to the sport of basketball or whatever the sport is for your son or daughter. But it's really that parent and child time when it just looks like it's sports, but it's also an opportunity to teach them about sportsmanship, to teach them about all the great benefits that go with playing sports, but also to set that example and let them see you being the head of the household and the way that you're leading them. Kristen, I wonder then, when did you really start thinking, because you continued to play for so many years, when did you really start thinking, I could be a pro basketball player someday?
Well, so when the league first started out, I was aware of it, but I think with our family being so busy, it wasn't like I was going to a ton of the games or anything like that. But certainly by the time I got to college, There's a WNBA team in our, you know, in Seattle where I was going to college. And so I was very aware of it, but I was so driven, you know, just I wanted to be my best, really. That's what it was. And so my goal was to excel and to see how good I could be. So with my work ethic, with everything, I really wanted to bring excellence to what I did. And so, you know, it ended up working out. I was actually undrafted out of college, but went and played overseas and had an opportunity to go to training camp and ended up making the team. So it's just a testament to certainly God's grace and a lot of hard work, but truly just trying to be excellent, you know, in what I did.
So in the lead up to today, you made a statement to me that you learned the importance of defending your faith as a teenager. How?
So I went to a Catholic school, you know, K through eight, and then to a large public high school. And I, you know, as it turned out, all of my classmates, my class of 30 that I went to, you know, Catholic school with, they all went to either private schools or a couple went public, but they were to other schools. So I was the only person having, after growing up with this, you know, group pretty much my whole life, to go to this one public school. And so I didn't know anybody, and I'm there, and I remember just pretty early on sitting in a class and, you know, my teacher, he was one of my favorite teachers, Mr. Parker, if he ever listens to this, he's one of my favorites, but he did such a great job of trying to encourage group discussion and really challenge, you know, students to speak up and whatnot. But I was quiet. I didn't know anybody and didn't really want to speak up. Well, a conversation started in class about, you know, euthanasia. And I remember sitting there, and the longer I sat there not saying anything, the more, you know, uncomfortable I felt within. And I just thought, you know, we're called to share the gospel. We're called to, you know, speak the truth. And so, you know, after a while, I just couldn't not say anything because the whole class was on one side of the issue. And you know, my little hand goes up in the air. And you know, even when you're standing alone, it's important to stand. It's important to speak the truth. And that was my first experience really realizing that not everyone believes the same things that I do, and it's important in those spaces to be able to come in and speak the truth in charity, but certainly speak the truth, even if it feels a little bit daunting at times. And I just remember, you know, having left that class after kind of holding my own in that conversation through the grace of God to say, yeah, that's important. And different classmates actually came up to me after that wanting to have conversations and, you know, actually led to a really wonderful opportunity to share more things. And it wasn't like this debate where people are getting, you know, really nasty with one another at all. It was just the chance to say, well, no, here's another perspective. Let's talk about the dignity of the human person. Let's talk about, you know, who made us and why that matters. And so from a young age, I just remember kind of the aha moment of being, you know, maybe that's really naive, but like, wow, people, not everyone believes what I do. And it's important to speak this so other people can hear something that maybe they never heard before.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. So does that mean that in your high school and your college years, you were still extremely devoted to your faith? Or is it, well, what I just described was an isolated case. My faith eventually got pushed into the background because my life became all about basketball.
No, my faith was always something I tried to keep in the center. So always going to mass, recognizing that this is my true identity. I knew those things, right? I knew them intellectually, and I was trying so much to live them out. And it's hard. I won't sugarcoat it. Being feeling like I was in the minority a lot of the time was a challenge, right? But again, just having that through God's grace to know that even if you feel like you're standing alone, it's still important to stand up and speak the truth. So I think as I did that more, I gained more confidence and also learn the importance of trying to listen to other people and understand their perspective while also holding true to the truth, to my faith, right? So it's actually been an opportunity to have some really wonderful conversations with people that I don't know would have happened otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Well said. And Kristen had what she calls a profound experience visiting Fatima in Portugal. But before I have her share that with us, there are a couple of events that have started coming onto my radar where I know that this Catholic Sports Radio ministry could really grow if I were to attend and or advertise or possibly even set up as an exhibitor. One is the National Religious Broadcasters Annual Convention next February in Nashville. There's something in Indianapolis in November that I'm going to have to pass on. Plus, I already got something about the Catholic Men's Conference in Tampa early next year. I also know that the Catholic Media Association has opened up the submission period for the 2022 Gabriel Awards that will be presented at their annual conference next year. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard me say that in the past, I have had to miss out on all these types of activities for the simple reason that this ministry is just three people, meaning me, myself, and I. And one of the ways that Catholic Sports Radio will grow is for me to be able to participate in these types of events and programs. But since I don't get any income from doing this and I have no sponsors, all the expenses have to come out of my pocket, which makes it extremely difficult for me to be able to afford the types of activities I'm giving examples of here. This is why each week I ask the audience to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry with a financial contribution. My aim is to move more people deeper in their faith through this mix of sports and faith. I trust that you're getting value from everything that I'm doing with Catholic Sports Radio, and I do truly hope that it's helping you in your faith life and that you find benefit in this ministry and the work that I do to try to help move more people in their faith life. If you've been listening for a while, then you've heard me mention listeners and guests who have contributed to Catholic Sports Radio, and you've heard me say that there are two ways you can do so. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that allows you to contribute securely online in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable giving as a one-time contribution. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. And of course, I'll happily say your name on an upcoming episode when you make a contribution. Or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Kristen, I mentioned back in the intro that you played basketball internationally. Did that lend itself to having more time for your faith, what with being away from family and friends?
It did. Playing professionally, we have sometimes three workouts a day, but not being a student athlete, I still had time in between. In a way, I'm like, what do I do with myself, right? And I'm used to having every minute scheduled in my day. But I loved the Lord, and I just had this desire, this hunger to know more. And I had never studied the catechism before, which is kind of amazing looking back on it. So when I was overseas, that was how I spent a lot of my time, was studying the catechism and wanting to, both scripture and catechism, just wanting to know more. And my first contract was in Madrid, Spain. And so it's, centrally located. And so we'd play other teams throughout Spain and usually best there. Best was like Barcelona or Ibiza or somewhere we needed to take a plane. But we would bus there. So on the way there, I loved looking out the bus window and seeing, the Spanish countryside and getting to see that. But on the way home, after a 7 o'clock game, it's just dark. It's black. Mm. And we would watch, it's so funny, they have it was a charter bus. They'd have English movies dubbed in Spanish, but they put the English subtitles on for me. And so very interesting to watch a movie like that. But I wasn't particularly interested. And so I had different DVDs of the catechism. So I would just put my headphones on and be, doing that and reading. And again, so interesting. Different teammates would come up and, what are you doing? And then I'd be happy to share with them what I was doing, what I was learning. And, they were pretty fascinated too. What is this? So it was a great opportunity actually to share the faith and for me to just grow in my faith and learn more.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So share with us the story then that I alluded to that you have about visiting Fatima.
So again, after my first year in Madrid, my season had ended and I was going to take a road trip with friends, rent a car and go throughout southern Spain. I had some friends from college that were studying abroad in Granada, and then our plan was to go through, drive through, southern Portugal and then up to Lisbon. And I was sharing this with my grandmother. I was talking to her on the phone, really excited. I had this road trip coming up and, I was really excited to get to go. And as soon as she said, where are you going in Portugal? And I said, we're stopping in Lisbon. And she got so excited. She's like, Lisbon isn't that far from Fatima. And truth be told, I didn't know very much about trauma, probably nothing at all. I think I'd maybe heard about it once long ago, but nothing clicked when I was planning this road trip that I would be that close. So I really give all the credit to her. Her joy and excitement, how close I was to Fatima, you know, getting to Lisbon. So anyway, I went on this road trip, and when we got to Lisbon, my friends wanted to stay in Lisbon, and so I found a bus, and it was only like a 2.5 hour bus ride. So I was kind of going on this private pilgrimage by myself. And again, even in going, I didn't know much about it. But truly, once I got there, it was one of the most profound experiences. And I try to, you know, even all these years later, I try to put it into words. But what I can say is that in that experience, I felt that the Blessed Mother really became a real person to me. I felt her love in a way that I never had before. I had the opportunity to go to confession there. I prayed the rosary of people all over the world, and it's very beautiful. They have a candlelit vigil every night, and they pray the rosary in each decade. It's in a different language. So there's just, I felt my heart just on fire in a way that I hadn't before, and it was such an amazing experience to be there. And truly getting to learn the story of Fatima while I was there walking on the grounds was also just such an amazing experience. And I remember even sitting in the basilica, and I just lost track of time. I was just there taking it in and spending some time in prayer, and a security guard came in. He's like, "I have to close. You need to leave." I didn't want to. I just wanted to stay there all night if they would let me. So, you know, I went... You know, I had a place to stay for the night, and then the next morning just got up like it was Christmas morning and went and was able to pray a rosary and go out, you know, where Our Lady appeared. And, you know, it was so beautiful. But really the story of Fatima, the message of Fatima to pray the rosary every day was something that really stayed with me. And to be honest, I had rosaries. I always got them for gifts, or, you know, you get them for First Communion or something, but it had never been a practice of mine. They're more of a decoration, I'm sorry to say. And but then going there and having that experience and truly, you know, like, no, she is real. And like, she leads us closer to her son. And so I began praying the rosary daily after that. And it truly just changed my life in so many ways, bringing me closer to her son. Wow. So I'd heard before, and it's so true, like, to Jesus through Mary. So, that was a huge part of my faith journey, and, you know, to this day still pray the rosary daily and encourage everybody to pray the rosary daily. Powerful.
Just beautiful. And it made me think of when I went to Italy for the first time, and I was telling the pastor at my church and asked him, you know, what should I see? And when he asked me, where specifically in Italy will you go? And I told him Milan, he told me where the Cathedral Duomo was. And when I went there, I was just in awe of it. And it is so beautiful, as you said earlier in the show, to be able to go to a church in another country. And even though the Mass is in Italian, you can still follow along just because you know the spirit of what's being said. You know the format. It's not unlike when I was in Serbia. Those of you who have been listening to the show and or have been reading the About page on CatholicSportsRadio.net, you know about all the years that I worked in the Olympic movement. So getting to travel around the world and be in places like Serbia and places like Italy and be able to go to Mass and experience, just like Kristen is describing at Fatima, and just have a similar experience, yet something that is very, very different than just walking into the church that you're used to going to every Sunday here in the United States. Kristen, what about, you sent me something that said the WNBA and Collegiate Prayer Ministry. What was that?
Sure. So when I played in the WNBA, they had a chapel service before each game. And so it was neat. But we had done chapel services in college where you'd get together with teammates and pray before a game. In the WNBA, though, they did it where both teams would come together, would pray together.
Wow.
So, it was unique. It was the first time. So that I had, you know, experienced something like that. And it was very beautiful to see both teams come together. And there's usually a message of some sort and, you know, a verse or something. And then everyone would pray together and, you know, offer intentions. And then you pray as a group. So that was something that I really enjoyed. And, you know, again, whether we were in Seattle or we were, you know, playing on the road, getting to do those prayer groups was really special. But then, when I was, you know, after my playing career and I was coaching in Seattle, the team chaplain for the Storm reached out, and you know, asked me to come and help with that prayer ministry. And so it was really neat. When I could, I would really enjoy going back and being able to help lead those prayer ministries, and or just that time before the game to share a message and to pray with people. And then I was also asked to do that same thing at my alma mater. And so I had the opportunity to go and to share my story with the team and the coaches, and then to, you know, stay in touch with them and ask how I could pray for them and be able to share encouraging messages with them. And so that was also something that I really, you know, just, again, when God invites you to do those things, to be able to use my experience, and I understand what they're going through. I've been there too, and yeah, to be able to go in and then just do a prayer with them is really special.
Well, how great it is to hear about the two teams coming together for that, because I think that almost any guest that has talked to me on previous episodes about any type of prayer service before some kind of a game, it has always been that the teams have been on their own, meaning they're very separate from one another. So it's really nice to hear this. In fact, back on episode 122, and folks, I know I'm giving you a lot of past episodes to go back and listen to, what with mentioning Mike Candrea on episode 4 and Jim Sweeney in episode 6. But very recently, the end of May, Richie Adubato was my guest on episode 122, and he spent some time coaching in the WNBA and told a fun basketball story on that episode, maybe not so much about being prayerful like we're hearing on this episode with Kristen, but go back and listen to what Richie and I talked about. He coached in the NBA as well, by the way. On top of everything that we've heard on this episode, Kristen is also a wife and a mother. Kristen, share about your husband and his RCIA process, as well as something that the two of you have recently discovered and fallen in love with.
Oh, sure. So my husband, he was working in a professional baseball strength and conditioning coach, and he came to Seattle to get his master's degree and also serve as strength and conditioning coach from a bunch of the teams at Seattle U. And one of those teams was women's basketball. So we became really good friends. He was Protestant at the time, and so we just ended up having these great conversations, you know, about God, and I was able to ask him different questions, and so probably like, it bothered him that he didn't have all the answers, right? He didn't, you know, he had bounced around to a lot of different denominations, and so he was very curious. He was very curious, and so, and I was, of course, happy to talk about it, and so he asked for, he's like, well, he asked for different books, and so I gave him a whole stack of books, and he read all of them.
Wow.
And just, you know, couldn't get enough, and so very much on his own, he reached out to the cathedral in downtown Seattle, and he started the RCIA process. And I didn't know that at the time. He didn't share that. And then he learned that he needed to get a sponsor, and he didn't know anyone that was Catholic. And so, or he didn't, you know anyone else, I should say. And then, so they were like, oh, well, we can get you someone, you know? And he's like, well, I do know somebody that's Catholic. And so he asked me, and he was just like, I know how busy you are. And he knows the schedule of a college coach and stuff, but he's like, if you are willing to be my sponsor, and of course I'm like, yeah, I'd be happy to, right?
Wow.
So that was a really neat journey that we got to go on together, and so then it was sometime after that is when we actually started dating and then you know, got married in there.
So cool.
But it was really special that to have been part of that big journey in that way into the church, and you know, we ended up getting married at the same cathedral that he came into the church. So
outstanding.
It's very special. And so he just, you know, his fire for the faith is such an inspiration to me. And so even just the way that God brought us together still, it makes me smile just even thinking of our story. And you know, I remember being so busy, right, as a college coach, and just really questioning and discerning my vocation, knowing so much that I, you know, felt called to be a wife and hopefully one day a mother, and but seeing like, God, how's this gonna happen? Like, I have these standards, and I am, you know, I live on the road, and I'm constantly, you know, working and all this stuff, and God has plans. He always knows, right? So I think of, you know, how even my husband ended up in Seattle, and then our story and our friendship, and how he came into the church, and is just on fire for his faith. And I like to tell young people, especially they're, you know, in their late 20s or even early 30s, and like, oh, I just, you know, I really want to be married, and I, you know, haven't found the one. And I tell them, like, don't settle. There's someone out here that probably needs to hear this. Like, don't settle. And even for me, that some great advice that I got was just keep running the race, right? Keep running after the Lord and trying to live your life like to please Him. And one day you're going to look around if you know, marriage is your vocation, and see, you know, look to your right, look to your left, and see who's running with you. And I was just exactly what happened in my situation. See, like, my husband was right there striving, you know, just to love the Lord, and truly has the Lord's, just loves the Lord and has a number one in his life. And so, anyways, that's just really a really special part of our story. And then the second part of your question, you know, we're married, we have two children now, and more recently we've discovered and just really fell in love with the traditional Latin Mass. We're so thankful we have a parish that's less than 30 minutes from our house. And so we kind of stumbled upon it. We had been invited for a while and we're discerning it, you know, but I was so active in our other parish at the time. It was a real challenge, you know, to leave and go check out another parish. But when we went, we just were so captivated by the beauty and learning more about the history, but truly too, to see there are so many young people, so many children running around. And it's just been, you know, especially with all that's been going on, you know, in the last little while, you know, it's been a real refuge for us to have just solid teaching week after week, and to be able to go to Mass, and just the beauty and the reverence is truly captivating. Yeah. So we're very thankful. Very thankful for that. It's been a huge blessing in our life.
And how old are your two children?
5 and 3, and hopefully, you know, God willing, there'll be some more. We've had a lot of heartache in that area lately, so, but we're hoping for more children. So.
Okay. And in closing, tell me, what is the Brown Scapular Confraternity that you are enrolled in?
Oh, sure. So I had not heard very much about this. You know, in the past, someone had mentioned it to me about wearing the brown scapular, and I didn't really get it and didn't, you know, look into it too much. And then more recently, the invitation came again. And so it's essentially Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock in, I think, the year 1250, don't quote me on that. And it's essentially a promise that whoever dies wearing the garment shall not suffer eternal fire. And so we were invited to partake in, you have a ceremony, and any priest can do it, but our priest, you know, invited anyone that's not enrolled to do that. And there are different, you know, things that you need to do, but essentially, like, wear it every day. And I would encourage anyone to look it up, because then you can pray the little office, or, you know, a rosary daily, and there's a couple other things that go along with it. But praying the rosary daily is something that our family does already anyway. And so just a way to venerate Our Lady and to really feel her protection, you know, daily. So, and again, just even wearing it, you know, people are like, well, what is that? You know, so you can tell it's a brown wool scapular, and you can wear it, you know, under your clothes. Feel pretty discreet, but I've had already some people say, like, you know, what's your necklace? And it's an opportunity to share about Our Lady and the protection that she gives.
Fantastic. Well, Kristen, great witness. Great having you on the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Listeners, let's close with an athlete's prayer, fitting for having talked to Kristen about her years playing basketball. And of course, we'll do this together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I know that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me, win or lose, to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed, and from being sulky when I fail. And help me always with goodwill congratulate a better person who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net. as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.